Did you know Sam? Did you meet Sam?
I partied with Sam.
Good
so
luck to
I.
you. Yeah, so did Maynard. Well,
I think we know why you've been in rehab.
I was paranoid for 3 days.
Everyone who knew Kinnison wants to. Are we recording this? Because I'm going to want this on tape.
Yeah. Okay.
All right, cool. Everyone who knew Kinnison would come out of the woodwork to tell me stories over the last couple years. And there was a great comedian who used to play piano at the Comedy Store. And he said, he goes, dude, he goes, your impressions, I love your impressions, which I guess we should tell the audience. We'll get to some impressions here in a minute.
Yeah, because they're calling for them, yeah.
And he said, man, I love your impressions, but you're Sam Kinnison, man. I've got to tell you this story. I think you'd appreciate this story. I was with Sam Kinnison at a party one night. We're doing a bunch of coke. Sam had this mirror full of lines, and he's talking to somebody, and he handed the mirror to a woman who was 8 months pregnant.
Oh, my.
Not intentionally. Oh. Not intentionally. He was just talking. He goes, yeah, here you go. Yeah, so anyways, and he's telling the story. And everyone goes, Sam, what are you doing? She's pregnant. You know, and he goes, oh, God, I'm sorry. God, well, it's not like I'm doing it intentionally, you know? It's not like I'm... You know, it's not like I'm doing it. It's not like, you know, I'm just handing out coke to women who are pregnant, you know? And they go, Sam, she's going to give birth next month. And he goes, well, yeah, I know. Well, well, plus you don't want the kid coming out next month going, where's the dealer's pager? Oh! And he goes, man, he goes, here's what's crazy. It's a month later, I'm driving through the Hollywood Hills with Sam. And I go, dude, remember that party we were at? We were doing all that coke. Remember? And he said Sam's face was completely blank. He goes, remember? And you handed that mirror to the woman who was pregnant? Dude, remember? and then we go, dude, what are you doing? Remember, you had that great line. What was your line? You said, you go, yeah, plus you don't want the kid coming out going, where's the dealer's pager? Oh. And he said, Sam just looked at me and went, oh, did I say that? I should write that down. Have you got a pen? Let me get it. He wanted to write it down for material. He had no idea he had even said it. And that's Kinnison for you, man.
In knowing him, did you know he was going to die young, one way or the other?
It was just a weird experience. I used to go to this big music industry thing out in Los Angeles called the NAMM Show, the National Association of Music Merchants. When I was in high school, I had a friend who was connected to the industry, and he also was friends with Kinnison. And so every January, I'd go out to this music industry thing out in L.A., and we'd hang out with Sam for one night out of the weekend. And Sam, I remember we were walking through the Anaheim Hilton in the lobby with there's a bunch of comedians. This is long before everyone wanted to be a comedian. And Sam is wasted. We're all doing blow. And then this guy in a wheelchair goes, Sam, I want you to know that Jesus still loves you. And he goes, oh, I know, brother. Yeah, I know. I mean, you can't shake that guy. That guy, you know. And the guy goes, he quotes something. He quotes the Bible. And Sam goes, you know what? Actually, you've got that wrong. That was actually, he didn't say that to, you know, he said that in the context of it. And he's full on. 20-minute debate about the Bible.
He was very schooled.
His dad was a preacher.
He was a traveling preacher as a kid. He grew up in a family of preachers. Never did any drugs. Never cursed. And in his 20s, this is a great story. He got involved with a woman in the church that he fell in love with. This was his sweetheart, and this is what changed his life. He was in love with her. He put all of his faith not only into God but into this woman and into this marriage, and suspected that she had cheated on him right before they got married. And on his wedding night, tells her, he decides to trick her, and he lies to her, and he says, I feel bad. I feel, and he starts, you know, crying. He puts on his whole act, and she goes, what's wrong, honey? Please tell me what's wrong. And he goes, well, I just, you know, I got together with my ex-girlfriend, you know, and I feel guilty because, you know, I love you, and, you know, I want to make this thing work, you know, and, but I messed up, and he starts putting on this whole act. He's crying. He's like, I got together with her, blah, blah, blah. And she goes, honey, look, I did it too. I got together with my ex, and he goes, I knew it! You whore! I was lying! You whore! Oh, Jesus! Jesus! And he just goes off on her. He's like, you're a filthy whore! Isn't that
so perfect.
And he just loses it, and he's like, and he stays with the woman for a couple years, knowing that she's cheating on him.
He stayed with her.
Stayed with her, and then apparently she would go around and in front of all his friends say that he was a loser, and would yell at him in front of his friends, and then he was depressed, and then she left him, and Sam was broken. At that time, he was getting into some Richard Pryor albums, and he was really finding some, you know, some relief from listening to stand-up comedy. And his brother, Domi, said, you know, what do you want to do with your life, man? You're so lost right now. And he said, you know what? I've always wanted to be a comedian. And I said, well, you know what? you know, go do it. Try it for a year. If it doesn't work, come back to the flock. And he never came back.
You know, that's the thing that kills me. Is that giggle?
Is that giggle?
The giggle is the thing that
Robin, are you finding another attraction?
When you're doing impressions, is it an homage or is it mockery? Or is it both?
No, it's definitely not a... Not only is it not a mockery, everyone who I've done an impression of wants to hang out with me.
Really?
Well, sure.
So they all want to, like, they all want to find... In fact, that Al Pacino thing, I just found out about 6 weeks ago. I'm in Los Angeles, I landed in Los Angeles, and I get a phone call from this guy from Vivendi International. They're a video game company. And the guy says, hey, Craig, my name's so-and-so, and I want to talk to you about this. We're doing a video game for the movie Scarface, and we want you to call us about it. So I called him up, and I said, hey, what's up? Got your message. So where are you at with this thing? And he said, well, we're still developing the game, but we've had a lot of meetings about it, and Al recommended we come to you to do the voice. And I go, and who? And he said, Al. And I said, who's Al? And he said, Al Pacino. And I was like, you? Are you serious? Al? And he goes, yeah. He goes, so I need you to go into a studio. I'm going to send you some liners. And I was like, wait. Can we back up to Al Pacino for a second? Like, can you describe the moment? Like, can we kind of set the tone? And he said, you know what, Craig? I really wouldn't get that excited about it, because he actually said, I need you to, there's a guy. His name is David Grass. Is it David Grass? I don't know. David, find him. This guy does a voice. And he's not too bad.